Hi, this is Eric Elder, broadcasting live from the ranch. The Bible says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but that Jesus came to give us life and give it to the full. I've thought about that verse in the context of power. And some people think that they have power if they can take a gun and they can hold it up to someone's head and they could shoot that person and kill them. They think that they have great power when they do that. But you know, even though that does a lot of damage, even though that can be an awful and tragic thing, that is not the real power. Anybody can take a gun and shoot someone. Anybody can drive their car down the road and kill someone. Anybody can take the life of some other thing. Anyone can kill the plants around their house. It is not a difficult thing to kill and to steal and to destroy. The difficult thing is to bring someone who's been dead back to life. The difficult thing is to raise someone from the dead, to heal the sick. You see, what Jesus has done is that very thing. He has raised people from the dead. And God, in fact, has raised Jesus from the dead. God has breathed life into things that were once dead. In fact, all of us were just dust of the earth until God breathed life into our being. The Bible says that that's what God did for Adam, and He's done it for each one of us. So you see, the difficult thing, the more powerful thing, is to raise someone from the dead. Now, our faith hinges essentially on that fact, the fact that Jesus has been raised from the dead. In fact, if we don't have faith in that, then all of our faith is useless, the Bible says. Once we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, we can believe He can do anything, and He can do anything for our life here, and He will raise us from the dead one day in the future as well. So you see, our faith in Christ, that He was raised from the dead, that resurrection faith that we're going to talk about tonight, is the essential piece of our faith. And I want to focus on that for tonight, because if you've never put your faith in Christ, this could be the most life-changing message you've ever had. And if you have put your faith in Christ, you will find that this key element is the key to unlocking your faith for God to do anything in your life. Any victory in any area of your life can be had once you understand that faith that Jesus was raised from the dead is possible. So I hope you'll stick with me for this message live from the ranch. On your screen you'll see some message notes, and there is a passage from 1 Corinthians 15 that is a few paragraphs long, and I'm going to give you some time right now to read that while I play a little bit on the piano. And I just want you to read that, and I'll give you enough time to get through it and just to ask God to speak to you about this issue of resurrection from the dead. And is it really that critical? Does it really matter that much? Read what Paul had to say about it to the people of Corinth about 2,000 years ago, and I think you'll understand why it's critical to your life today. Thank you. If you were able to read that passage from 1 Corinthians, you'll see why Paul says that our faith must be in the resurrection, or else it is dead. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 15, down in the passage under verses 13 and 14. It starts with these words, "If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." Paul was talking to people in Corinth who were starting to have doubts about whether there was a resurrection from the dead. In fact, there were a group of people back in Bible times called the Sadducees. And the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They just didn't believe that there was any life after this one, that this was all there was, this life right here. In fact, some people say they were sad, you see, because they didn't have any hope later. They were called the Sadducees. That was their real name. Other people have appended that to their meaning later. But Paul was saying that there must be a resurrection from the dead. And, of course, Paul had an encounter with Jesus right on the road to Damascus after Jesus was raised from the dead. And Paul saw him. In fact, it says here that many others saw him once he was alive again. It says that he appeared to Mary, and he appeared to the disciples, and he appeared to about 500 people. And he appeared then also to Paul. And so Paul saw the risen Lord, and it changed his whole life forever. Paul was killing Christians prior to that point, but when he saw that Jesus really rose from the dead, it changed everything in his life. I can say that happened for me as well. It's changed everything in my life, and I'll explain that in a minute. But look at this passage, why he is saying, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. In verse 16 he says, "For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." Then he finishes with these words, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied above all men." That's pretty powerful, because usually we're praying for God to do things in our life. We say, "God, we have faith that you're going to come through and heal our son. We have faith you're going to provide money for us. We have faith that you're going to do these things for us." But you see, if we have faith in Christ only for this life, then we're to be pitied above all men. Our faith in Christ, essentially and ultimately, is not about this life here and now. Our faith in Christ is for what's to come, the resurrection from the dead, which is available to all who believe. In fact, if you don't believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will not be able to be saved. The Bible says in Romans verse 10, chapter 10, verse 9, here's what he says it takes to be saved, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. See, when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that's one aspect of it. But the other aspect is that we must believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Let me stop right here and ask you, do you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead? Do you sense that? Do you feel that? Do you understand and comprehend that there was a living being, Jesus Christ, who was dead and crucified? They thrust a spear in his side and blood and water poured out, signifying his death. They buried him in the tomb for 3 days. And then he raised from the dead. And he appeared to people here on earth. And he continues to appear to people. He is not dead. He is alive. See, once you believe that God can breathe life into something that has been dead, your whole faith will change. Your whole world will change. Here are some examples just from my own life, that how that affected my life. See, I didn't really believe in Jesus for about 23 years of my life. I went to church every Sunday. I heard about 1,300 sermons by the time I was 23 years old. And yet, I didn't really believe in Jesus. I had read the words, I understood it, but it was no different to me than reading about Joan of Arc or reading about George Washington or reading about some fictional character. I just didn't know if I could really believe in that. I could really put my trust in that. And yet God asked me a question through prayer and through reading the Bible. And he asked about my own life, whether I believed I had sinned or not. And when I said, yes, I do believe I've sinned. I believe I've done some things that are not right in your eyes, God. And God said that the penalty for those sins was death. All of a sudden, I was faced with the question of whether I believed in this whole issue of Jesus, whether I believed in the whole afterlife, whether I believed any of this mattered, or whether I could continue on my own way and living in the sin that I was living in. Well, my sin was homosexuality. I was involved in a lifestyle that was not pleasing to God. In fact, it was going to cause my own destruction. That's why it wasn't pleasing to God, not because he hates homosexuals, but because he loves them so much. His compassion and his care goes out to every person. He doesn't want to see anyone killed or destroyed by something that's going to ruin them. So he calls out to us and says, please don't go down that path. Come back and have life and life eternal. And I said to God, how can that be? How can I change? And God brought me to this issue of Jesus. And do I believe in Jesus? Do I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? And as I thought through all of those things, whether I believed God could heal me, whether I could believe any of this was true, all of a sudden all the pieces fit when I understood that God really did love me and had a plan for my life. And I said, I don't want to be that way anymore. I don't want that in my life anymore. I believe that you can heal the sick, you can raise the dead. And like that, Jesus healed me 12 years ago. This was an incredible change in my life, and he put me on a path to eternal life. Once I believed that he could heal me, once I believed that Jesus could be raised from the dead, it changed everything about my thinking about the Bible. All of a sudden, I believed every word in this was true. I hadn't even read every word. But now I had faith to believe that God really did create the world. He really did create Adam and Eve, living, breathing creatures, people who were like us, who from them every generation of people has come since then. Once you believe that God can raise someone from the dead, you can believe he can do anything. And that's not a negative thing at all. That's the great positive thing about our faith. And why I have so much faith and have seen so many answers to prayer, because I know that God can do anything. I know he can set us free from all kinds of sins. I know he can change lives. I know that he can raise people from the dead even today. In our own lives, my wife had an experience with a verse in Romans 9:11, which also relates to this fact of Jesus being raised from the dead. If you look with me at Romans 8:11. My wife at this time, this was about 7 years ago, was going through a pregnancy, and all of a sudden the things with the pregnancy seemed to stop, and she went in for some tests, and the tests showed that her hormone levels were decreasing rapidly, and the doctor said this means that the baby has already died, or it means the baby is in the fallopian tubes and we'll have to remove it. The only other option is that this test is wrong. But she said, I think we need to prepare for the baby to have been dead, or we're going to have to remove the baby. So here the doctor was saying that the conclusion was, this child has died. And so they went in to do one final test before seeing what to do with this child that had died in her womb. And the night before, Lana was praying and had talked to a friend, and she came upon this verse in Romans 8 that said, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. And she realized that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lived in her as a believer in Christ. Jesus said he would send his Holy Spirit when he left to anyone who believes and who asks for the Spirit to come into their life. She had done this. She knew the Spirit lived within her. And she said, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, it can raise this child from the dead as well. And she prayed a believing prayer, a prayer of faith, that that would be the case, that God would raise this child from the dead. She went in for the test the next day, and I was in the other room, and they called me in to see what the results were, and my wife was just crying. And I thought, oh no, this is terrible. And I looked at the screen, and they said, see the screen here, the nurse said. And the nurse said, see that black dot? And I said, oh yeah, that's too bad. I just knew the baby had died. And yet the lady said, do you see how it's beating? And there's a little heartbeat there. And all of a sudden I realized my wife's tears were just tears of joy, and she couldn't even express it in words to me. And I just broke down because I didn't have the faith to believe that this child could be raised from the dead. But at that moment, my wife did, the night before, and she prayed a believing prayer, believing that this child could be raised from the dead. And now we have a 7-year-old son who is alive, I believe, as a result of a believing prayer that the Spirit of God raised that child from the dead. There are other clearer instances of people being raised from the dead, even these days. And I won't go through those now, but you may be surprised to find out that that still happens. But no reason to be any more surprised about that than people are healed, than people are saved, that people are forgiven of their sins. This is what our faith in Christ is all about. We receive so many things by putting our faith in Christ, it's unbelievable. It can reverse the downward spiral of the earth. You know, if I leave my garden untended, it will be overcrowded with weeds and all the good plants will be killed out. If we leave things unattended, if we leave a wound unattended, it will fester and become infected and it will be destroyed. See, there are so many things in our life that if we leave them without prayer, without any attention whatsoever, just in the natural world, they will die, they will be killed. Everything in the world decomposes. Everything is destroying. Everything is going to chaos. But God can reverse all of that, and He can bring things back to life. He can bring a dead child back to life. He can bring a body that's headed for death because of homosexuality back to life, and life-giving body. Now, as I'm married and have 4 children, God has put life back into something that was dead. I say all this to encourage you that God can breathe life into your life, into your marriage, into your children's lives, into your work, into your relationships, into your friendships. God is in the life-giving business. He very much is into life. God is a pro-life God. He created it, and He wants there to be an abundant life, not only here on earth, but in eternity as well. That's our third and final fact, the eternal implications of our faith in Christ. If you would look with me at a passage in John chapter 11. Our faith for these things that happen in our life is very important. And yet you and I know that we have prayed for people that have not been healed, that have not been restored. Their marriages have fallen apart. There are times that I don't understand why it happens this way. I haven't been able to figure out a formula, and in fact, I don't think there will be a formula to figure out here, because at some point it is all up to God. But I do know that faith does change things here on earth, and I've seen Him change enough things that I have confidence to pray for things to be changed here on the earth. In fact, a man shared just a few weeks ago about how his mother was dying of liver cancer, and they were praying that she would be healed of that, and she was healed of that, and it is completely and totally gone now. She is given a clean bill of health, a totally different prognosis than the doctors had given back earlier in the year. So God can and does change things in this world. But ultimately what matters is what happens after we die. What happens when we die in this world? Is there anything to come? Will our faith make a difference then? And that's where our faith really is put to the test. Do we believe that we will one day be raised from the dead? We can believe that, and God wants us to believe that. Look at what Jesus said to the sister of Lazarus. Lazarus had died, and his sister had come to her, and In verse 17 of chapter 11 of John, it says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. See, Martha knew that Lazarus would one day rise again in the resurrection when all the believers are raised to life. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. After this, if you remember the story, Jesus called out to Lazarus and raised him from the dead. After he'd been in the tomb, wrapped in his grave clothes for 4 days, he had a sickness that killed him. And yet Jesus reversed all of that, brought him back to life, and even healed him of the sickness that killed him. He wasn't just brought back to life just to live a life of misery and sickness here on the earth. He was brought back to life and healed of all that killed him. See, God wants to give us an abundant life. But the key in here is that there is a resurrection from the dead. That resurrection that happened to Lazarus was just a foretaste of what's to come. I'm sure once people saw that, in fact, I'm sure because the Bible says it's true, that many people put their faith in Christ just because they saw Lazarus raised from the dead after 4 days. Imagine that all of us who believe in Christ will one day be raised from the dead. If we saw a dead man raised, we would have more faith in Christ as well. And yet, even that isn't enough sometimes. Thomas, it says, was present when Lazarus was raised from the dead. Yet when he heard a report that Jesus was raised from the dead, Thomas doubted it. And Thomas said, I won't believe it until I see it. He had to put his hands on Jesus' hands. And when he did that, he did believe. But Jesus said, blessed are those who haven't seen, and yet they believe. That's you and I. Many of us have not seen Jesus raised from the dead, and yet we have believed that he was raised from the dead. When we do that, we get eternal life. We will never die, Jesus said in this passage. Even though he dies, he will live. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? This is something people have searched for thousands of years. They've searched for the fountain of youth. They've searched for immortality. They've searched for a cure from all diseases. And yet, for all our searching, we have never found anything that will extend life past what God has set for us. God said in the Bible that he had limited life to 120 years and no more. People do not live beyond that these days. There, as much medicine as we have, people simply do not live. We've not been able to extend the overall life of the human race. We can extend individuals' lives to be longer. If they were going to die at 60, maybe they can stick around until 70 or 80, or if 80, now to 100, 105, 110. But we are unable to extend it past the limit that God has put on it. But Jesus has shown us a way to extend it. Jesus has given us the solution, the fountain of life, the well of water, he called it, that springs up into eternal life. When we put our faith in Christ, we will be raised from the dead. Remember Romans that said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. You will be saved. There is a resurrection from the dead. It's available to all of us who believe in Christ. If you have never put your faith in Christ, you can do it right now just by saying, Lord, I'm sorry for the sins I've committed. I believe that you died for me so that I wouldn't have to die for them and that I could have eternal life. And when you say that Jesus is your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you have already put your faith in Christ, but you start to waver because you don't see your prayers answered here on this earth, you can be assured that God will raise you from the dead. In 1 John 5:13, it says, I write these things to you who believe, so that you may know you have eternal life. John wanted us to know that we would have eternal life when we believe in the Son of God. It is important that you believe. It is important that you understand this, because everything else in your life will hinge on this fact. If you don't know this or you're still not convinced, would you read those extra passages that I put on the screen, some from John and some more from 1 Corinthians? You can read those longer passages and just ask God to reveal this to you about the resurrection from the dead, because our faith ultimately hinges on that fact. I want to sing a song, and maybe you can join me. It's called We Have Overcome, and it's a great song of victory, that there is life after death, that Jesus is King. If you want to sing with me, the words are just, we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the Lord, we have overcome.
By the word of the Lord, we have overcome. We have overcome. We have overcome. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the Lord, we have overcome. Creation bows down. Jesus Christ is King.
He has overcome.
He has overcome. He has overcome. The strong man is bound, and the victory is won.
The strong man is bound.
The strong man is bound, and the victory is won. He has overcome. The strong man is bound, and the victory has come. He has overcome. He has overcome. And the victory is won. He has overcome.
Let me pray with you. Lord, I just pray that you would bless the people that are watching this. Whenever they may be watching it, Lord, you know the timing. You know what they need in their heart. And God, I pray you to answer the prayers on their heart. God, I thank you that you died for our sins. I thank you that you rose again. I thank you that you sit now at the right hand of God, praying for us, looking out for us, looking forward to the day when you will come with a trumpet call of God. You will come in the clouds and raise us to be with you, and meet you together in the air, to be taken up to be with God forever. Lord, I thank you that this is not a myth, this is not fiction, but this is real life, and we've seen it, Lord. And many people have died for this belief, Lord. I just don't think that many people would have died, Lord, and put their life on the line if they had not seen you risen. They would not have written the words in the Bible and then given up their lives at the hands of those who killed them if they didn't see you raised from the dead. Lord, just as Peter, who said he would stand by you and yet deserted you before you were crucified and then saw you crucified. But later he stood up and proclaimed in faith that you were the Lord, and many thousands came to Christ as a result. Lord, I know he wouldn't have done that if he hadn't seen you raised from the dead, for we saw that he ran from people when they thought that he was associated with Christ. But Lord, after seeing you risen, we can have faith for anything. Lord, for the people who need to put their faith in you for healing, for forgiveness, for marriages, for children, for parents, for relationships, for wounds, for hurts, Lord, for the things that have beaten them down, I pray they'd put their faith in you right now. And the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead would give life to their mortal bodies. Lord, for anyone who's struggling with a sin that they can't get out of, that they have tried, Lord, I pray now that you would give life to their mortal bodies, that they would not sin any longer. Lord, I know you can do this, and I just pray that your Spirit would well up within them and would give them power over this. I pray this all in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks for coming. I hope you'll join me again for another message live from the ranch.